Dear listeners, this time of the year marks China's annual Two Sessions political session. The Two Sessions refer to the annual meetings of China's top legislature, the National People's Congress, and the country's top political advisory body, the Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference. Both bodies serve five-year terms and convene plenary sessions each year. This year's two sessions hold particular significance as the world's second-largest economy accelerates its transition toward high-quality development and advances Chinese modernization. The meetings are expected to shape China's policy direction amid an increasingly complex domestic and global landscape. This is China Africa Talk. I'm Gao Junya. This year's two sessions have attracted over 3,000 journalists, both from China and abroad. My colleague Danielle Arabmoy from CGTN Africa is one of them. Danielle traveled from Nairobi to Beijing to cover the event. He has been reporting extensively on the key discussions and developments, with a particular focus on how these annual gatherings will impact China-Africa cooperation. I spoke with Danielle Arabmoy to hear his insights and observations on this year's two sessions. Danielle, thank you so much for taking this interview with me. The two sessions is underway right now here in the Chinese capital, Beijing. We know that you've been at the Great Hall of the People and different meeting venues, bringing audience the latest updates from the ground. I'm just curious to know that, is this your first time covering this event? And what have you observed on site?
Oh, yes, indeed. It is my first time in Beijing. It is my second time in China. The last time I was in China, I was covering the China-Africa Trade and Economic Forum in Changsha. That is in 2023. This is my second time here and my first time covering the two sessions, which was very interesting for me, you know, exciting to be in the Great Hall of the People. You know, for the first time we watched this on TV, I'm like, wait, I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was very, very exciting for me. And so to answer your question, my observation, well, first of all, you know, I looked at the sheer scale of the event, you know, that was very impressive, you know, with thousands of delegates, journalists and staff, you know, that seamlessly coordinated during this particular event. You know, the meticulous organization, you know, underscored the importance of the two session here in China. And also, you know, the presence of delegates from various regions of China, you know, ethnicities, you're talking about professions, you know, highlighted the inclusivity of the process itself, you know, reflecting the broader representation of China's population. You know, that was a landmark for me. And the discussions itself, you know, centering on pressing issues that affect people of China, you know, the economic development, the social welfare of the people, environmental sustainability, and technological innovation. You know, these were some of the things I was like, wow, so these guys discuss all this stuff. So the emphasis on long-term planning and sustainability, you know, was very evident during my first time visit at the Great Hall of the People. And, you know, the extensive media coverage, both domestic and international, you know, really showed me that the global significance of the two sessions as a platform for understanding China's policy direction. And of course, the blend of, you know, traditional Chinese elements with, you know, modern governance practices was really striking for me. That really symbolized China's commitment, you know, to preserving its heritage while embracing progress and development. But overall, you know, the experience provided me a very, you know, unique insight into China's governance model and its commitment to address national challenges through collective, if I may say, deliberation and strategic planning.
Yeah, and speaking of the white representation, I'm just curious, you know, are you aware that how many ethnicities are here in China?
That's a good question. China is very vast. I'm not really sure. I
You can make
would
a
point
wild
out
guess.
exactly, yes, how many they are, but I think there are quite a number,
Yeah,
of ethnicities.
I know back in Africa, right? Especially in Kenya, you also have many ethnicities. I don't know if this number exceeds yours. In China, it's 56.
I come from Uganda. I work in Kenya. I'm not
Oh.
Kenyan, I'm Ugandan. In Uganda, we have over 30 ethnicities.
Wow.
Yes, we have so many languages, over 30 languages, because every region has like several tribes. Like I come from the northern part of Uganda, and I am an Acholi by tribe, so I speak Luo. And there are other tribes like the Baganda, the Banyankole, the Batoro, the Bachigas. So we have several languages. So, but of course, we are taught English in school. So we all come together through one common language, which is English. Now we're trying to introduce Kiswahili as a language to connect us as well.
Yes. And you mentioned the extensive media coverage. I know you did a vlog on this as well, focusing on foreign journalists' perspective on the two sessions. And who did you speak with, and what insights did they share with you about the annual gatherings?
Yes, what is interesting is that this year really attracted a lot of foreign journalists, especially from Africa, from Europe, from the Americas. So everybody is covering this session. And it was interesting to interact with a few of the journalists, especially I was interested in knowing what particularly African journalists are covering in this two session, what their focus is really on. So I spoke to one foreign journalist from Nigeria, Patricia Esami Luba. She's a diplomatic correspondent with the Nigerian Television Authority, News 24. And I gathered a few insight from her. But generally, many foreign journalists noted the emphasis on stabilizing China's economy, amid global uncertainties. Policies aimed at boosting China's domestic consumption, which the premier and other officials did say it was getting sluggish, but they are supporting innovation and managing debt. We're seen as critical to sustaining growth here in China. Now, the focus on technological self-reliance was also key to many of the journalists that I spoke to. They highlighted China's ambitions, to lead in areas like artificial intelligence. You're talking about DeepSeek here, renewable energy, and particularly advanced manufacturing, while also, noting the geopolitical tensions surrounding technology competition. A lot of people are interested in knowing where China is going, technologically. How do we compete with China? And they also mentioned areas to do with renewed pledges to achieve carbon neutrality and enhanced environmental protection, where China is working on that on a serious note. To them, the two sessions is being viewed as a platform for signaling China's stance on global issues such as trade and security, and also international cooperation. Now, some of the journalists interpreted the tone as assertive, reflecting China's growing confidence on the world stage.
As you said, it is actually under the spotlight of the whole world. And I'm just curious to know, you've shared with us like the perspectives of other foreign journalists. What about yours? What are some of your key takeaways from Premier Li Qiang's government report, let's say? And what messages
Oh,
stood out for you?
yes, I got quite a lot here. Trust me, this has been a very interesting meeting, especially, the government report. Talking about the government work report at this year's 2025 two sessions, outline, China's achievements, challenges, and priorities as well for the year ahead, which is 2025. And the report did emphasize stability, innovation, and high quality development, with several key messages standing out for me. The first one is, the government set a GDP growth target of around 5% for the year 2025. And that to me reflected a focus on a very steady and sustainable growth amid, global economic uncertainties. Now, policies to boost domestic consumption, to stabilize employment, and support small and medium-sized enterprises were some of the key highlights that stood out for me. And the Premier Li also did emphasize the importance of, you know, achieving breakthroughs in core technologies. Mm-hmm. We're talking particularly in areas like semiconductors, you know, artificial intelligence, and green energy as well. Increased investment in research, you know, and development, the innovation ecosystem, you know, was announced to reduce reliance on foreign technology. And I love this about China. You know, China is trying to ensure that it does not really rely so much on foreign technology, but build, you know, capacity back at home. And the government report to me, you know, reaffirmed China's commitment to its carbon neutrality goals, you know, with plans to accelerate the transition to renewable energy and also reduce emissions in, for example, heavy industries. New initiatives, for example, to promote electric vehicles, energy storage, and carbon capture technologies were also mentioned during the Premier's report to the House. Now, you know, to me, healthcare is very important. If you talk of healthcare, education, social security, these are central elements that improves the livelihoods of the people. So seeing that highlighted in the government report, you know, to me, it was very exciting. I'm like, yes, China really cares for its people. These are key issues that are explained in the government report, you know, what they want to do, how to protect the health of their people, the aging population. That was so wonderful to me. I'm like, this is the core issue and importance of living for humanity, for a government that loves its people, for a government that cares for the elderly people. And to me, this is something that I resonate with very much. And, you know, I would discuss this with my area member of parliament when I go back to Africa, especially in Uganda. I will talk to him and say, you know, there are certain focus that I've learned from China that you could actually borrow to make sure that your people that you represent, you know, become better and happy in life. Also, something that stood out for me in the Premier's report was that he reiterated China's commitment to, you know, globalization, pledging to expand foreign trade, attract foreign investment, and also deepen international cooperation. As you know, China is Africa's largest trading partner. And I thought these were really, really key areas or focus that interested me.
And I know you attended yesterday's press conference by the foreign minister Wang Yi, right?
Yes.
You were there. And I think I also listened to the whole press conference, and I think it was very encouraging while he's speaking of China-Africa cooperation. Yes. And I'm just curious, you know, with your background, you're from Uganda and now you're working for CGTN Africa. As China charts its way forward, what areas of interest might be particularly relevant for Africa?
Yes, thank you for that. You know, China's expertise in building, you know, large-scale infrastructure projects, you know, such as roads, railways, you talk about ports and energy facilities, you know, remains highly relevant for Africa, you know, where infrastructure gaps hinder economic growth. Continued investment in transcontinental projects like the East African railways and ports development, you know, I think could enhance regional connectivity and trade. China's focus on renewable energy and carbon neutrality aligns well with Africa's need for sustainable energy solutions, you know, to power its economies, also while addressing climate change. Mm-hmm. As you know, climate change has been and is still one of the key challenges that many African countries are facing. It has far-reaching implications. So if China is trying to address these issues to Africa, it is a plus. And also, you know, China's collaboration with Africa on solar, wind, and hydropower projects, as well as technology transfers, you know, for green energy, I think could greatly help Africa, you know, leapfrog to cleaner energy systems. And also China's advancements in digital infrastructure. For example, during the government report, there was emphasis on 6G. Mm. You know, we are moving away from 5G to 6G. and also a deep discussion into artificial intelligence like DeepSeek, which we already have in Africa. I spoke to a few guys in Nairobi before I came to China who are already using DeepSeek. And
What
they are
about
happy
you?
that China has given DeepSeek to them at a very affordable price, you know. So this is already helping them, you know, to navigate so many areas of concern to them, and it's making life much more easier, you know, business much more easier. So supporting Africa's digital transformation to me is very critical for economic diversification and innovation, and China is already helping us to do that. And another thing is, you know, partnerships in, you know, building smart cities, expanding internet access, and developing, you know, local tech ecosystems could accelerate Africa's digital economy. During last year's FOCAC, actually, that happened here, China came up with a policy. There is one area that was really of interest to me. President Xi Jinping did mention that China is going to try to build small and smart areas that people can resonate with. You know,
Small and
people.
beautiful projects, right?
Yes, small and
Yes.
smart projects, you know,
Yes.
things that Africans can see. You know, previously, China was doing major projects in Africa, and sometimes the rural people do not understand the significance of those, you know, big projects because they can't relate with. If I stay, for instance, in my village in Gulu, it's very hard to see some of the key projects that China has done in Uganda. But then this new drive, you know, small and beautiful projects, these are things that can resonate with the local African person. You can see, oh, this beauty was, you know, this was constructed by China. Wow, this is wonderful. So I think those areas really make it great for the people of Africa to enjoy the relationship, the mutual trust that we have between China and Africa. And finally, you know, joint ventures in agri-tech, irrigation system, and food processing will also enhance Africa's agricultural productivity and food security.
Yes, I think Foreign Minister Wang Yi also brought up a vivid case yesterday during the press conference. This Gambian farmer, right? The farmer
Yes,
from
I remember
Gam.
what I said. Yes,
Yeah.
you know. Yes, he spoke about an African farmer, you know, that brought a bag of rice
Yes.
to China, you know, to showcase what he was able to do. It was amazing for me. You know, in Africa, for example, in Burundi, in Madagascar, I covered a story in Madagascar
Wonderful.
where Chinese experts are teaching the locals of how to grow hybrid rice. And I was amazed. I was excited to see how local farmers in Madagascar are benefiting, you know, from this expertise from Chinese officials. You know, the Chinese officials are teaching them how to grow hybrid rice. And in turn, they were telling me, previously, I used to grow traditional rice and I wasn't getting much. So I asked them, so what is the difference since Chinese experts taught you how to grow hybrid rice? They were like, you know, before I was making little money, but now my pocket is full of dime. I was like, "Dan, give me some," you know. Like, so they're making much more money. You know, their livelihoods have improved. They can feed their families. You know, it was wonderful. But the example of this farmer carrying rice to China, you know, tells you that they appreciate what China is doing to them. They want to, you know, work better and more with China, you know, to make a living and a good livelihood.
Yes, like you mentioned, also this program is undergoing in Burundi and many other African countries with this hybrid rice. I think yes, like you said, more small scale farmers, I think they are going to benefit from this program. And
Okay, sure.
yes, and it's just something came up. Are you also using let's say DeepSeek or other AI in your work?
Yes, we actually went to DeepSeek headquarters. Unfortunately, we were not able to interview the officials there, but we went to the building, the headquarters of DeepSeek in is it I think Hangzhou. Yes, and it was interesting to see the original place where DeepSeek is located. Yes, but I also did a story about DeepSeek that aired early before the two sessions started. And
Okay.
I just just love the way, DeepSeek is changing the world. It just hit us by storm. And this good technology, it's a wonderful solution that I think will help to solve so many challenges, both in China itself and particularly to us in Africa.
Okay, you were in Hangzhou just during this visit,
Yes.
right? Yeah,
Yes.
actually, Hangzhou, do you know that it's actually where headquarters of Alibaba is based?
Yes,
Alibaba,
yes.
it's the hub of e-commerce, and now it is rising kind of like a new technological hub besides DeepSeek.
True. We actually visited one of the outlets of Alibaba while in Hangzhou. Yes, we did.
Like I said, besides DeepSeek and this rising emerging AI company, and also I don't know if you heard of that popular game Black Myth Wukong. Actually, its developer, Game Science, I think its English name is also based in Hangzhou, and those robots, now very popular robots in China, Unitree Robotics, those high performance robots, that company is also based in Hangzhou. I don't know what story you did, but yeah, basically it's just worth a lot of exploring there in Hangzhou. You were in Westlake,
True,
huh?
true, 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 true.
Okay. Yes, and let's talk about green cooperation specifically, as you mentioned. We know that green cooperation is also emerging as a key trend in China-Africa relations. For example, in Nairobi, where you're based, we know that local Boda Bodas, right, the motorbike taxis, they're actually transitioning to electric ones and predominantly sourced from China. And now a journey to Jomo Kenyatta International Airport might now be aboard an electric bus manufactured in China. This is what I've got online. I've never taken an electric Boda Boda or electric bus to the airport. While I was there, the bus is still on fuel. Just tell us what's been happening these years. What's the trend of green transition?
Did you just say you've never taken an electric border?
No. Because I was last time I was in Kenya, I think it was in 2021. I've never taken an electric Boda Boda.
Okay, 2021, I think we were still, below the par. Y yes, but now, yes, to answer your question, yes, increasingly we are beginning to see, electric bikes in Nairobi City and other African cities as well. And many of these border borders are being manufactured in China. And away from the border borders, we are also increasingly seeing electric buses coming on board, to try to ease transportation and also as a part of greening Nairobi City and many other African cities. And all this technology is really coming from China. And I think this is the way to go. African cities are becoming smarter because of the innovation that is being cultivated here in China. And just to mention this too, I love one thing about China, that China is very much willing to share its technology with Africa. I think without China, it would have been very difficult for African countries, to move from one stage to the next. But we're increasingly seeing China's support reflecting on the future of Africa. These border borders are helping Africa. Of course, previously we had, border borders that are not electrified, I mean, that are using fossil fuel. But now we are increasingly seeing greener and greener Nairobi, greener African cities because of these new bikes, these new buses that are coming up to Africa. And it's helping to, to clean up Africa. And this is part of environmental protection that we need to continue, to address. And China is actively participating in ensuring that Africa becomes greener and greener every single day.
Yes, and I know that besides Hangzhou, you also went to Yiwu, right?
Yes.
The world's capital of small commodities. I don't know, what did you find there? Are there any parts and parcels maybe of those Boda Bodas?
Yes, I wasn't able to see the border borders, but Yiwu was very, very interesting to me. It is an international commodity market. And my first impression, when I went into the market, this is what I envisioned before I got into the market. In Africa, typically a market is a place where, buyers sellers are interacting with each other, you know, striking deals. They, can I buy this? It is 100 bob. Please, can you reduce the price for me? No, that is too much. No, give me this amount, please. But when I got into the market, you know, I was shocked. I'm like, what's happening here? I'm not seeing people. And then when I asked the question to my producer, Joe, Joe was like, you know, here, basically, what happened is e-commerce. I'm like, oh, okay. That's why I don't see a lot of people here.
Yeah, that's so the new trend.
Yes. So what really intrigued me was how, you know, traders in here are so concentrated on their laptops, on their phones, trying to strike deals online. This is so exciting. So they negotiate with their buyers, you know, across the globe. Africa, for example, those that sell to Jumia, Alibaba, AliExpress, you know, simply online. And to me, it has helped so much to reduce, you know, the traffic. You know, you need to buy air ticket to come to China. It is very expensive as a trader. And now e-commerce has eased all this, you know, by just a click on your computer, you get in touch with your seller, and you have your goods shipped to Africa, you know.
Yeah, I think this e-commerce trend is now also emerging in Africa as well. I think it's also going to become as popular as here in China.
Yes, by it will. And by the way, not forget, you know, there's something else that interested me. There's something called, is it Hangfu?
Yes, Hangfu, the traditional Chinese outfit.
Hangfu, yes.
Yes.
You know, I actually tried several of them on.
Wow. How was it?
Trust me, I looked like a king.
Wow, wow, wow. Which dynasty are you aware?
Qing? Was it the Ming Dynasty?
Ming Dynasty, okay.
I can't recall exactly the name, but it's one of those golden age dynasties.
Okay, and you did some vlogs on that as well?
I actually did a live. I did a 1 hour live around as the city. And trust you me, you know, it has attracted close to 1 million views on Facebook.
And it's fun. Talking about this, besides your busy work schedule, what else is on your to-do list while you're here? I don't know, what places are you keen to visit? And maybe would you also like to try an avocado imported from Kenya? Or, I don't know, watching the movie Ne Zha 2, which is quite popular now.
Let me tell you, I am not interested in testing the avocado. You know what I'm interested in? I am interested in eating the stinky tofu, because I tested it in Changsha.
Hunan. Yes, yes. You can find it here in Beijing.
Oh, really? You have it here as well?
Yes, yes. Those snacks. Okay. And you tried it in Hunan 2 years ago and you can't forget it and it's still on your list.
Yes, I would love to eat that again. And I would have loved to, you know, visit, how do you call it? Is it the Great Wall?
Okay, the Great Wall, yeah.
Yeah, I would have loved to visit that place. You know, it's widely talked about. It's known, you know, globally. I think that would be a very good to-do list for me. And also, you know, to visit some of your local food stalls, you know, test a few delicacies of China here and there. Yeah, that would be a good experience for me.
Okay, someone is a foodie here. He's been looking for different tasty foods all over. Okay.
True, yeah.
Okay. So enjoy your stay here, Daniel.
You too.
Listeners, to get our weekly updates and more on China-Africa relations, you can subscribe to our newsletter on CGTN website or Substack. Search China-Africa Talk. I've also launched a new newsletter on Substack. You can find it by searching for China-Africa Focus. To stay informed about the latest news and developments shaping the dynamic partnership between China and Africa, I'm Gao Junya. Bye for now.